willingly next summer. And you know, I'm having fun just as I know one of you guys, just totally all over the place in terms of like his life and what he wanted, and a lot of restlessness. And I just, you know, I think it's just really cool to see him finding the Lord, which we'll talk about. Stefan is, he has math and science, really involved over, he worked at the Xfinity Center. It's called something different than Comcast. I was going to say Comcast. Xfinity Center, and he's involved with the basketball team there. And he's over at the Mount now. And now he's a deacon. Deacon Stefan is really crazy to say. When he blesses food, they get. I was joking to him. I was like, that's not faking it. You can actually do that. So, and anyway, let's hear it up for Deacon Stefan Yap, good friend. Yeah.
Do I need this or? I'm pretty loud. Okay. So before we begin, let's just start with the prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, send down your Holy Spirit upon us. Pray especially for these men in front of me. You may continue to work in their lives, that they may continue to find themselves and who they truly are in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all this through the intercession of Mary, our Mother, and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Great. It's a really big honor to be here. As Matt said, I've been in your shoes. I've been in these seats. I went to Beyond Your Dinners probably when I was a senior and a super senior. So I was here from the spring of 2010 to the spring of 2014. So I was here for 4.5 years. And I finished with a degree, finally, with a degree of math and statistics. And then immediately after college, I entered seminary for the Archdiocese of Washington, where I was at St. John Paul II Seminary, where I'm sure you guys have heard that place, studied at Catholic University. And then these last 3 years, I've been at Mount St. Mary Seminary in Emmitsburg, and I'll be finishing in May, getting ordained, God willing, on June 20th. 2020. And I just want to start with a quote which really sums up kind of really my time in college and actually my whole life, and then a little bit my first few years of seminary. And it comes from Augustine's Confessions. Have you guys heard of the book? Have you guys read it? Well, if you haven't read it, this is the copy from the library here at the Catholic Student Center. So you guys could fight for it after I put it back. But in Augustine's Confessions, in Book 1, Chapter 1, he writes this. And it's probably one of the most famous lines in the Catholic Church, right? It says, "Thou dost so excite him that to praise thee is his joy. For thou hast made us for thyself, God, and our hearts are restless till they rest in thee." Right? Our hearts are restless till they rest in thee. This is one of Augustine's first lines in his Confessions, his autobiography. And if you know anything about Augustine, you know that he also lived quite like any stereotypical college, like crazy life, like pales in comparison to St. Augustine's. Like this guy became one of the best orators in church history, one of the greatest theologians in church history, but he had an interesting past. He was a womanizer. He actually had a child outside of wedlock before becoming a priest, and his son died before he became a priest, before his conversion, and he converted really through the prayers of his mother, St. Monica. And then he became a priest, and then he became a bishop of Hippo in Africa. So why does this matter? So restlessness is probably one of my best traits. So as I said, it took me 5 years to graduate college. And it's not because I was, I took a double major or anything. Actually, it's because I changed my major five times while I was in college. So I came in and I was a, I went to Rutgers for a semester and I was planning to do biomedical engineering. I came here and then I started double majoring in letters and sciences. And then quickly went to, then I wanted to do biomed again. So I wanted to continue with bioengineering. So I tried getting to that program, had to become an undecided, and it was weird. So undecided engineering, just in generic. And then a friend of mine really got me into computers. So I was like, oh, let me do computer engineering. So I started doing computer engineering. And then I really hated the engineering class that the hoverboard? Yeah, that was awful. So I was like, I'm not doing that. So I'm gonna do comp sci. So I did comp sci for about a year and a half, and I really hated my life. So at that time I was also minoring in math and stat. So I decided, all right, I'm just gonna drop comp sci and then I'll just finish out in math and stat. And then I finished in math and stat, but I was actually really close to also dropping out of college because I just couldn't take it. So what really happened between all these changing of majors? So my first 2 years here at Maryland, I really lived a world of, like St. Augustine, right? A life of selfishness and a life really just for myself, right? I probably only went to about 50 to 60% of my classes when everything was said and done. I played a lot of video games. I really just did whatever I wanted. So play video games, I played volleyball. I just hung out with friends. I slept a lot. And then I started working. So then I wouldn't go to class because I wanted to make money, right? So I was working at the Xfinity Center for the athletic department and getting a lot of free Maryland gear, Under Armour gear, which I don't have to pay like $70 for a piece for a t-shirt. And getting paid to go to like basketball and football games. It was a pretty sweet gig. But in my sophomore year, I broke up with a long-term girlfriend I had when I was living up in New Jersey. And that really changed my life. I thought I was gonna marry this girl, and the first thing I did was contact Father Rob and email him and said, I need to go to confession right now, it's an emergency. And he said, okay, meet me in Memorial Chapel in like 2 hours. So I met with him, went to confession the first time in about 2 years. And he was kind, and you know Father Rob, he could be blunt at times when he needs to be. And he just said, what are you doing? Like, you're wasting your life. And I didn't really want to hear it at that point. And he's like, it's great that you're here at confession. So he absolved me and everything, but it's like, I really want you to think of what you're doing. So my junior year, I go off campus to Mazda Grand Mark, and I ask him to bless my apartment. And he comes the Monday after fall retreat. And he's like, why didn't you go to fall retreat? I said, I don't have any money. It's $40. Like, I'm poor. And I'm living in like one of the most expensive apartments in the College Park area at that time. And he's like, he's like, well, we could have got you a scholarship. Like, that's not an excuse. So he blesses my apartment. I give him $40 as a donation for blessing my apartment. And he says, I want you to promise me something. I'm like, okay, Father. I want you to promise me to go to the spring retreat next semester. I'm like, okay, fine. Spring comes along, and I hear the announcements after Mass about spring retreat, and I'm like, oh, well, I told Father Rob I was gonna go, so I gotta go. I gotta be a man of my word. So I went, and that is where I really started to, that's where things really changed for me. I really met some good friends here at the Catholic Student Center who I'm still very good friends with. One's a priest right now. He just got ordained this past summer, and one is in seminary with the SALT community, if you guys have ever heard of them. He's out right now in Detroit in seminary. And that was the first time I really had good friends. And that's really what the CSC is able to do. They give us good friends. A lot of my friends, I mean, they're good people, but they weren't Catholic. They didn't live a Catholic lifestyle. And I kind of got dragged on along with that. And then I started going back to confession again, more regularly, monthly, daily mass when I could, receiving the Blessed Sacrament in a state of grace, at least as far as I could tell. And then it was Holy Thursday Mass here at Catholic Student Center. My first time at the Triduum liturgy. And it was at the consecration when Father Rob says, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you," and elevated the host. And at that moment, everything around me went still and quiet, and I just heard deep within me just a simple question, a whisper, as Elijah heard the whisper in the cave, says, "Will you be my priest?" And I just flipped out. And I just tried to focus on Mass, not to focus on what just happened. And then, as you guys know, on Holy Thursday, we repose the Blessed Sacrament here in the Barney Room, right? But after I got out of the chapel, I just peeled off and went straight to my car and called a buddy of mine and was like, "Dude, I don't know. I think I'm called to be a priest." And this is only like a couple months coming back into the church. I'm like, what is this? So throughout the next, this is ridiculous. Throughout the next year and a half, I went crazy just asking, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to be a priest? Do you want me to be married?" I've always wanted to be married, right? But if I'm called to be a priest, then I should do what God's calling me to do. I was so split. Father Rob was my spiritual director, right? I was going to vocation events with the archdiocese, and I was just so split. I couldn't sleep. Nothing could get me to stop thinking about priesthood or marriage. And it was the summer of before my fifth year of college here, where I was praying at St. Mark the Evangelist, and it's great that I can say these places, you guys know where they are. Because I say them in parishes, and they're like, okay, whatever. And the Lord just made it very clear to me. He's like, finish college. Just finish, right? I came into college with enough AP credits that I was actually, as a freshman, I was considered a sophomore. I was supposed to graduate early, and now I'm graduating. My family actually thought I wasn't going to graduate. And during this time, I was also thinking, like, I should just drop out of college and enter seminary. But the Lord just said to me, finish college. Just finish. You started this, finish it. So for the whole fall semester of 2013, all I did was focus on classes and work. And yeah, that was hard. But it gave me a lot of peace. Like, I was getting emails also, though, from the vocation director, and I wasn't answering them, which is not good, okay? But after, in the spring semester, I got another email from Father Griffin, the vocation director, and he says, "Okay, are you still interested in the priesthood? Because I think you should go to the fall, onto the discernment retreat again." I said, "Okay, Father, I'll go." And it was free, so if I didn't want to go, it's not like I was losing any money. Even though the archdiocese was, but I think of that stuff now, but but something got me to go that weekend. I was like, sure, let me go. I mean, I told Father I was going to go, so I'm going to go. And I met with Father Griffin, and he said, "I think you're ready for seminary at the end of this year." And I was like, whoa, okay. I kind of put this on the back burner for now, but okay. And so he gave me an application. He said, "Here, think about this. Look it over. We can figure this out." So then at this time, I was on track to graduate. I also was doing great at Merrill at the Xfinity Center. They also offered me a job that they would open up after I graduated. They'd make a whole new position just for me in the IT department there. So I had that, and I also was talking to two other consultant firms to do IT for them. And I was also looking at religious order. Like, I was literally all over the place. And Father Griffin told me something. He's like, you know, seminary is not like grad school, where you kind of just put your net out there and see what you catch, right? You apply to all these places and you see which one you get, right? Seminary is something that you have to be certain of and sure of, that this is it. So it was kind of ironic. God really helped me out, because the religious order I was talking with, the come and see weekend I was going to go to, was on my graduation day, and my parents, like, they would, the fact that I was graduating, they're like, no, we're going, you can't get out of it, you have to go, you have to graduate, you have to walk. So I said, okay, so I couldn't go that. The two firms I was talking to, so for some reason, they stopped answering my emails. And I was also talking to Focus, and then I kind of said, yeah, I don't want to do that. So I had seminary and this job at the Xfinity Center, which was, when I say it was a great gig, it was. And you get paid to go to college football and basketball games. I mean, no college, like, that's like the best job for a college student. And I had seminary. So what happened was, I ended up deciding to go on the Camino after graduating with the religious order, the IVEs. Some of the brothers still help out here. And it was the day, my last day of work in the summer, because I was going to go for a whole month of July. And I was saying bye to my coworkers, saying, like, I'll see you guys in a month. And then I get a call from Father Griffin saying, Stefan, you got accepted into seminary. And the amount of joy and peace and excitement that I had, like, I was literally dancing, and Father Griffin's like talking, and I'm like jumping and dancing, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, Father, cool, yeah, I'll talk to you later, right? Like, was phenomenal. And I knew at that very moment that as much as I loved my job at Maryland, like, I didn't get that same amount of peace and joy and excitement from being in seminary, from being accepted in the seminary, right? So I knew right away that I would not accept the position that they had for me, and I go to seminary in the fall when I came back from the Camino. So I told my boss, and he's like, oh, Stefan, we knew you were going to get into seminary, so you have to, he was on my references, right? So he's like, we knew you were going to get in. We actually have already been looking for someone to fill your position. I was like, oh, that's nice. I wish you told me that. It would have made me a lot easier. But then you think, like, okay, I'm in seminary now, and, like, it's going to be, I should have this peace. I should have this, like, you know, it should be good. No. Oh, no. It's probably not until maybe, like, last year of third theology. Yeah, I'm going to say spring of third theology, where I was like, okay, God, you're calling me to the priesthood. Because what I've learned here in college, what I learned in seminary is that, right, and what St. Augustine learns in the Confessions, which if you read, you'll see, is God always invites us deeper, right? He always invites us deeper, right? And it's where we find that peace is where we know God is, right? I was restless because I had literally had my hands in so many different bowls, right? I was trying, right? This is like the American, like, mentality, right? Like, you open as many opportunities as you possibly can, and you just pick the best one. Like, that's not how God works. God says, I created you for something very specific, and I want you, and if you find out who I am, if you know me, you will know what that is, right? It's not for you to decide. It is ultimately for you to decide, right? But I have created you for something very specific. And when you find me, you find that, right? And that's what I learned in seminary, right? It's the continuous daily dying to self. It's the continuous daily going to prayer. It's continuous daily saying yes to the Lord and constantly finding that peace that allows us, that allows me to be at peace, to not be restless anymore, right? After my first year of seminary, I went to one of my closest friend's weddings, and we didn't see each other in like 4 years. He moved out to California. And he said, "Stefan, you look so different." I'm like, "What are you talking about, John?" He's like, "There's a glow. It looks like for the first time ever I'm seeing you and you are actually alive." I'm like, "What? Like what?" He's like, "You had so much energy." And you could probably tell that, right? You had so much energy when you were younger, you were in high school and college, but it was like you didn't know where to put it, right? Like, you just put it wherever. But now that you have all your energy in seminary, focused on the Lord and your relationship with the Lord, you are more alive than you've ever been, right? And for him to say that to me, like, after 1 year of seminary caused me to reflect. It's like, what does that mean? Right? And that's what that is, right? We are made for something specific, right? And the more we find Christ, the more we find out what that is. And the more we find out what that is, the more alive we can truly be. Because we will be at our best. We will be at what we were made for. That's the Christian life. It may be seminary, maybe as a priest, maybe as a married man, right? Maybe as a lawyer, right? Whatever it may be, right? Like, it is only when we find Christ when we can find out what we are made for. And that is how we stop being restless and how we find peace. So let us pray. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, show us your face. Show us your face. Jesus Christ on the cross, who died for us so that we may live. Lord, send down your Holy Spirit upon us and inspire these men to always continue to seek you and to daily say yes to you. Mama Mary, keep us safe to close to your Son and cover us with your mantle of protection as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now I'd like to open up the floor for any questions.
Nice. Yeah.
Our goal, I think, as you said, is to find what God has called for us. But it's not like, right, like, I haven't, like you said, you haven't looked at the grace of the moment. So how do I live the waiting for that, then?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be, like, I just have to spend all my time, like, just because I want to be active, like, in the, mm-hmm. So how do I live an active waiting for this?
Yeah, and that's kind of the big struggle, right? Like, we don't know, if we don't know what it is, like, how are we going to know, right? So I think it's very simple. So Lumen Gentium says it's the universal call to holiness, right? So what does that mean? Is that we live holy lives. We simply follow the gospel. We follow the commandments. We follow the precepts of the church, right? So mass, easy ones, right? Mass on Sunday, right? Confession once a year. I think it should be a lot more frequent than that, right? But the Catechism says, to be a practicing Catholic, consider practicing Catholic, confession once a year, Sunday on holy days of obligations. Mass on Sundays, holy days of obligation, right? So that's a start, right? Another thing is, want to take one step further, get a spiritual director, right? Or just someone to talk to, right? Follow Rob, he's probably swamped, but he probably has, there are some really good priests around here, just in this area, that will be able to speak, you could speak with about like directions and where you want to go in your life, right? Spiritual direction, I would say, is more precise and more There's an actual, like there's a goal to spiritual direction, right? Whether that be priesthood, right, or marriage, whatever it may be. Like, I see spiritual direction as a goal that has an end, right? But that doesn't mean you can't talk to a priest just for like life help, right? Or Matt too. Like that's why Matt's here as the men's campus minister, right? Or the focus, right? So, but really the sacramental life and prayer. So, yeah, if you could do a holy hour once a week, great. I saw some signups, saw some spots were empty. So, but yeah, that's really it. Just living a life of holiness first. That's, yeah, we're all called to do that.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. What kind of advice can you actually give to like someone who needs to like choose between one thing to another? Because I understand that you discussed your story about like deciding like you want to get married or you want to become mm-hmm. or really become a priest.
Yeah.
What can you actually say to that person?
Yeah. So I think the first thing you want to look at is, are the two things I'm looking at, goods, right? So like marriage and priesthood are two very good things, right? As opposed to like, I'm going to get smashed this weekend and I'm going to go to Sunday Mass, right? One's clearly bad and the other's clearly good, right? So like, if they're two good things, right, then what you want to do is, well, not what you want, like, what you do is you simply offer it up to the Lord, right? You say, Lord, I have these two things, right? I have these two jobs, right? But which one are you calling me to? Which one have you made me for, right? And what you'll find out is, right, this is going deeper into the spiritual exercises and the rules of discernment. As you look at one as opposed to the other, you see one brings you closer to the Lord, like you get an uplifting, spiritual uplifting, closer to the Lord, a joy, a peace with one decision, as opposed to another, right? So you play it out, right? Let's say, okay, I'm gonna take the job at the Extending Center, right? And like, you see what the movements within your emotions, your spirit, within your soul, within yourself, your body, and if you don't feel right, you feel uncomfortable, you feel depressed, you feel sad about that, then you're like, then rethink that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the other one, right, seminary, priesthood, and all you feel and think is peace, joy, happiness, like fulfillment, then that's pretty good, mm-hmm. right? So like, that's a little bit more getting into the details, into the weeds of things, but that's really what you want to look for is, if I say, whatever one I say yes to, which one brings me peace? Which one brings me happiness?
Exactly.
Because that's what we're, right? St. Augustine says it. I don't think it's in the Confessions, though, but where he says, all men were created for happiness. We all seek happiness.
Can I ask that, Stefan? So
yeah.
I think it's helpful. Like, don't wait to ask God about like, the big decisions to do that. I think it's helpful to do these things on a daily about small things.
Yeah.
And then live out the small things and see if that gives fruit. Like let's say you're on Saturday and guys just like there's people going out to X or people for Y. And obviously X is bad, Y is good, whatever that is. And let's say you do one of those things and you kind of like feel where your spirit is, where that joy is, or what were the absence of it. And I think doing that over time, a pattern of following joy can allow you to trust to recognize that joy when these bigger decisions come.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's the daily yes. It's the daily yeses, right, that help to make the big yes easy. Right, like, it was, I'm pretty sure, like, Matt and Mimi, right? Like, it wasn't just, like, Matt saw me and was like, I'm marrying you, right? Like, will you marry me, right? Like, he's not, I'm not going to make that reference. Okay. but, like, right? Like, but it was the constant relationship that he cultivated, that him and Mimi cultivated throughout months, years of being in a relationship, in a friendship together, that eventually made it relatively easy for Max. Like, yeah, I'm supposed to marry this woman. And it's the same thing for us with the Lord. The more we spend time with the Lord, right, in prayer, the more it's like, yeah, this is what the Lord is easily what the Lord's calling me to do. But it's actually the daily ones that are actually tend to be more difficult, because they may seem tedious and monotonous.
So I've heard a number of stories about people graduating from college and going to seminary. How can you use a degree you've earned in the seminary?
Yeah, so a degree in math and stats. well, I've actually, it's funny. Like, I've actually tutored a couple kids over the summer. Like, it was just, like, I just said it in my bio when I introed, and they were like, can you help my son with math? I was like, okay, sure. Or like going to the school, like, right. And it's the math or science class, right? That's always fun. But I think my math and stat degree helped me the most is actually how to think. When you get to the higher levels of math and of mathematics, it's mainly theory, it's mainly thinking, logically and systematically, right? So that's actually helped me in my understanding in taking classes, right? So I'm able to think through things and not just, right? I could see the cause and effect of things and principles in the faith, right? Like, okay, this means this is a truth of the faith, right? God is three, right? So this has these three, like these conclusions that could follow, corollaries. In terms of degrees, like honestly, I don't want to say this, but like it's kind of like the real world. Like no one really cares what degree you have once you get a job. That's also one thing. But yeah, that's like I've actually used my math knowledge in seminary and in the parish. Yeah, and like seeing, again, this is more like just being in math classes, like seeing patterns. So like literally my pastor like threw me a spreadsheet and said, find a mistake, there's an error here. And I was like, oh, crud. Okay, and you know, you just gotta look through, it's like, okay, here it is. And so, I mean, those are tangible things to the degree, but they help. Mike?
How do you deal with distraction?
Oh gosh, I don't do it very well. how do I deal with distraction and prayer? Well, there's a great book called Distraction and Prayer. yeah, it's interesting. So it's easier in Eucharistic adoration or when I'm in front of a tabernacle to focus. So I have someone to look at, right? Right, like you don't really get distracted, right, when you're at a dinner. At least I hope not, right? Right, when you have someone to focus on, someone to look at, right? It's a conversation, right? It goes give and take, right? So I tell the Lord how much my day sucked, and he's like, yeah, and congratulations. You know, like, and that's really, I think that's really a big help, right? Like, if you actually focus on the relationship you have with that person, with Christ, right? It becomes not just, I'm gonna talk to the big man today. Like, it's like, how's it going? And when it's been a while, it's like, it's been a long time. And the moment I sit down, I hear, man, it's been a while. Like, it's good for you to be back. Another thing is preparation before you go into prayer, right? St. Charles, yesterday was celebrating St. Charles Borromeo, and in his letter he gave to priests, he says, like, have you ever said and thought that you're distracted in prayer or during the Mass or praying the office? What are you doing before you enter the sacristy, right? So, like, if you're if you got the holy hour right at 3 o'clock and you're running in at 2:59 or 3:01, right? Like, are you prepared to like pray? Right? No, you'd be thinking of everything you just did or what you were just running from, what you were rushing to get here, right? Rushing from to get here, right? So before you get to prayer, I'm going to say like, yeah, 5-10 minutes, you stop, right? I'd say don't even enter the church. Just like stop and like slow down, right? Because it's really within those 5 to 15 minutes where everything you forgot to think about come up. So like, if you just prepare yourself mentally, physically, of like this conversation you're gonna have, right? Then like, it's a lot easier, right? You wouldn't go to dinner with like, you know, a girl you like rushing in to the dinner, you know, unless you're like, you know, saving some kids or something, but. Right, but like it's the same thing, like right, like it's the same idea.
Good thing I don't have a girlfriend yet.
Yeah.
What surprised you the most about seminary? Like when you went in, we were like, oh, this was what I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of weird. No, I'm just kidding. Seminary is probably one of the weirdest places in the world. In all honesty, especially the Austin seminaries, like we live a communal life. And after seminary, most of us probably won't live in a rectory with more than one priest in it, right? Right, except for the first few years. What surprised me the most is just the fraternity, which I knew about, but I didn't expect just how amazing it would be. So like, huh? No. Is anyone here like in a fraternity? If you're not, like if you are, don't worry, I'm not gonna. You're not? Okay. So like, it's like a big, like imagine like a house full of guys, like at JP2, there's 60 guys. Mount St. Mary's, there are 150 guys, right? But yet we're all like focused on the same thing, right? Which is, you know, life with Christ, right? So, and like everything else we do in the house is centered around our relationship with Christ. So it lets like, and like I have connections with guys that I know, and we've had these discussions, right? Where I was like, where we were like, man, we definitely wouldn't be friends if we weren't in seminary together. Yeah, like, but it's our relationship that we have with Christ that initially brought us together, and we are able to, that brings us closer to one another, and we're able to, our differences are actually humorous, right? So that's probably the one thing most surprising thing about seminary, the fraternity, but how crazy awesome the fraternity is.
We have time for one more question.
Okay. Oh yeah, I would say yes, but it's not like a continuous restlessness, right? Like you see the movies, right? Like a guy getting cold feet, like nervous before his wedding day, right? It's like, for me, it's more the anxiousness of the anticipation of what's to come, right? It really what it comes. So like, right? Like seminary is just like college. It's not always fun, and just like work and like married life, right? It's not always fun. And there's some days where I'm like, do I really want to do this? And then I get hit in the side of the head. And the Lord's like, yeah. Or he asked me, are you sure? Like, do you want to do this? And after like literally like 2 seconds of thinking it and praying about it, I'm like, yeah, I do want to do this. And this, that same peace that I experienced, maybe not in the same level or magnitude from when I got the phone call from Father Griffin, but this the depth of the joy and peace is there. It's still there. It's not a continuous, like, oh gosh. It's more like a momentary human fall into my human weakness of tiredness and, you know, as we all do. So.